Praise God. Now, if you remember, sometimes back, about 3 weeks ago, I started off a message called Prison Break. How many of you remember Prison Break? Hello? How many of you remember Prison Break? All right. 3 weeks ago, I started off a message series called Prison Break, based on Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Just to recap, some of you all, some of us are in the prison, but Jesus has come and gone, and he has delivered from prison, but we are still captives of prisons. We are in a prison. Some or other, we laid it upon ourselves, or we do not want to get out of that prison. Chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Amen. Sorry, I got the wrong place. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can somebody read loud? Can anybody read?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me.
Amen.
To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the word. See, the word today we want to emphasize on is, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who are captives? You are not a captive unless you are in a prison. A prison that we keep in. There is two types of prison. I did remind you all the last time when I spoke about John the Baptist. There were two types of prison he was in. He was in a physical prison. He was also in a spiritual prison. So we talked about it last time. And I pray that today you can recap again, those of you who have heard that message. But today the prison we talked about is, many of us have got prison. We are kept in a prison, but we're not going. One of the series of prisons that we are breaking, the other day we introduced to you about the prison break. We talked about there must be a plan. There must be a strategy. There must be a willing, first of all, you want to come out of the prison. When you are in the prison, especially those people who are in the prison, who have got prison breaks, you have seen the movie of Prison Break. You have seen scripture, or rather you have read novels about, or even true stories about people who broke out from prison. And they had a desire to come out of the prison. They had a burning desire to come out of the prison. We talked about it last week, just to recap. And we know, we talked about, there must be a desire to come out of it. There must be a want. The want must be so great that they're willing to go through it. Because whatever pain is, you know, prison is a place where you have all the security guards. You have got all the machine guns around the prison. If you have not been to a prison, please go and visit a prison which is abandoned now in Pudu Road somewhere there. You don't see the guns, but you see the watchtowers. If you really want to see the prison, I'll take you around to go in Kajang, the nearest. It's a beautiful place to see. Very nice building. Four walls, all around white color. And you'll see all those barbed wires and machine guns up there. And spotlights moving around everywhere to see. In all these things, they must come over all these problems. Not only a wall, man watching them, and machine guns watching them, and wherever, and floodlights watching them everywhere they're moving. And above all, they've got security guards down, prison wardens down, watching them too. Cameras everywhere. For you to plan to come out, the desire must be great. You're willing to go through to come out of this because you really desire whatever may come. Either I die or I will come out of the prison. That's a choice they made. Right? Prison breakers. So God came us to this world as man, and he died for us. He said, I came here to release, give liberty to those who are captives. But even Christians, we talked about it last time, that Christians are still captives of things in the world. Why? Because we do not know how to come out sometimes. Some are spiritual. Some are intentional by people. They don't want to let go of the spirit. Sometimes, you know, I do deliverance. You would see people when we do deliverance, they will want to take it back because they enjoy the former time. They don't want to let go. They like it. They have come to a new life. It's free, but some or other, something is lacking inside them. There is some kind of hollow inside them. There's kind of emptiness inside them. So they want to go back to the place where they were comfortable with. That is why I've done deliverance here. After doing deliverance, they go and pick up the same spirit up there. Oh, you, I feel so lonely. We'll come back. You know, I don't feel nice now. When they feel nice, they say, not nice. They go back to the same. So many of us, what they do, God, Jesus Christ has delivered us, given us that liberty, but we take it back. He's given us the by word, but we want to hold on to the things that we lack very much. Some of the things in the series I'm going to speak about is a couple of areas that you all can identify with. It's a series, and next week I will not be speaking, but a week after that we'll continue with the series. And the series will have, number one, today I will speak about depression. It's spiritual, but also physical. We'll talk about failure, if I can cover failure today. We'll talk about anger. We'll talk about fear. We'll talk about worry. We'll talk about addiction. I've already covered addiction by itself one time. How to come out of the addiction. And I will repeat that message again so that you'll understand. And overcoming stress. Another one is jealousy. These are the things that God doesn't like very much. God is a jealous God. But the jealousy we have is different from God's jealousy. God's jealousy is a righteous jealousy. Our jealousy is different from. Ours is carnal. I will prove to you that when we come to that. Okay? Let's pray today. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, today. That you, Father, will guide, Lord, every word that comes from my mouth. And I pray, Father God, it will be clear for your people to understand. That the people will receive it. That it will be ground, Lord, which is fertile right in front of me. That every word that you speak through me, Father God, will be word from you. And no one, not from my flesh or from my carnal mind. And I pray, Lord Jesus, as I dedicate my mind and my lips and my tongue and my heart to you, speak, Lord, to your children. And they will bear fruits of Father. And they will take over every word of Father. And, Lord, they will be able to meditate upon the word. And the word will become alive in them. Amen? Praise God. So we have covered a couple of things on introduction of prison break. And then there must be a strategy we talked about. Today we talk about depression. One of the things that people are in prison is depression. How many of us have gone through depression? Somewhere or other in our life, people have gone through depression. How many? How many dare put up your hands? I dare put up my hands. There were times I've gone through depressions. There are times I go through depression. Depression is not the formal type of, you know, going to Tanjung Rambutan and sitting down there. But it's depression can be people sitting in an office or sitting down in a marriage and yet, you know, going through their life with depressed life. Everything is, no. Everything seems to be very depressive in them. Every movement of theirs is depressive. Everything that they think is depressive. Everything that, there must be reason why they are depressive. But Jesus is a deliverer of depression. There are times when we pray for people for depressive spirits, the spirit leaves. But physically the person is still depressed. As I said just now, they are comfortable in the zone they were. They still continue being what they want to be. Sometimes, you know, God has healed your hand, you know. When you come and God says, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed. And we ask them to do exercise. They're all right. But they say, oh, it will be painful, Pastor, painful. When you can overcome that, the healing will come. Amen? Same way, depression, in one form or other, we'll have a depression. I've gone through depressions in my life. I've gone through severe depressions in my life for a long period of time that you don't want to work to also. So depression comes to every one of us in different forms. But every way that we are depressed, but you must understand we must come out of it. Because the liberator has come and gone. The word is alive. And the word says, I've come to liberate people who are captives of any prisons. Not one prison, any prisons. Any prison can be in this world. Your physical prison. It could be any prison that is your mental prison. Could be your emotional prison. Everything God can overcome today. Amen? Praise God. Depression is sometimes complex. You go to a doctor, psychologist, oh, this is a very complex case. What I will do is I'll give you this tablet first to antidepressant. Right? That is called antidepressant tablets. How many of you have taken that? I was given, I did not take. I felt that some or other, if I have got this, I should be able to come out of this. Right? Antidepressant, you feel very, very lethargic. You feel very, sometimes stupid up here. And you feel like, you know, whatever you think also is not right. Even if it's a good thing also, you say, no, it's not good. You think to be very different from others' thinking life. So depression actually works. But it's complex. When you go to a doctor, it's good. Some doctors has got to give some physical form of tablets for us to sleep. Sometimes depression can also make you not sleep. sometimes depression, some people can sleep a lot. They sleep and sleep and sleep, and you get out of them, I don't know what to do with my life. Right? Everyone has got a way of different kind of depression. But depression can be also, people will be, in their heart, they carry so much of depression that everything they do, they fail. Everything they do, they fail because depression settles into the heart. Depression settles into the mind. Your emotions taken control of oppression. Everything you speak out of depression is negative. Why? You are already negative in your mind. You are so depressive. You are in the wave of failure. You feel everything is a failure in your life. Depression. Why does depression come into life? Why do people have depression? There are many reasons for depressions. Some of it I'd like to highlight today is a couple of things that I can highlight to you about depression today. Depression comes because people are stressed. You can be stressed at work. You can be stressed in a relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? There will be sometimes relationship stress. I've gone through that. As a pastor, I still go through sometimes stress. Right? Relationship. You're trying to mend the relationship, but you can't because you're striving and you're asking the Holy Spirit. By a man, you can't do it. But sometimes God, you have to be tolerant. And you fail, you tend to be a little bit, I say, why did I do this? Why did I get through all this? Why should I do this? Depression. People cut off pressures of life. So much of pressure that you have to upkeep with yourself to the things of Joneses around. Or Ahmads and, do you call it Ahmads today, is it? Ahmads and Lokes and Tans around. So you want to compete with them. You want to be in that name. Right? So you want to be like Francis Yeo. So you want to compete. How can he have a house like that? I cannot have. How can the Prime Minister of this country have a house like that? And he can spend so much money, I can't spend. So you want to keep up with that. The society, they tend to depress you. Because you can't come up there, you feel depressed. Every time you see the person in social activities, you are stressed out because this is the life that you are going through. If you are a middle class, you are invited somewhere to a big party, which is all people, elites are there, people are depressed. And you know those people who come back? They carry it as a grudge inside their heart. One day I'll make it. They're not making it out of reality, but they're making it out of frustration and depression. Amen? The decision is out of frustration and depression. So the one form of stress. The other form of depression is grief. It's a reaction of a normal reaction of a loss. Grief. Right? Grief can come for you anyway. Some of us who are strong, we can have it for a while. It'll come suddenly. I had a problem about 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, and I had to preach somewhere, and I was going to preach on the way, and I had to go into see my son in the emergency ward. And I had seen him, I was grieved for a while. Why this, Lord? And then suddenly you come back to God. So for a while I was depressed. Why this to him? It's a young boy. Right? So you see how he's in the mess, you feel a little bit depressed. I must say that suddenly your heart tends to go down. You suddenly feel that your heart is sinking for a while. If you're not thinking, I don't know, you might not be human, you're a robot. But at that time, I know I'm still a human being. Can pinch and feel, I can feel it, you see. So you tend to go out for a while and you come back again. Lord, I trust in you. And you can be the one who can take control of this. Okay? There can be a time of relief. Sometimes you lose something. You lose a person in a family, a close one. You can also have that. All right? Yesterday, my son had to visit. I don't know this girl, but I think I've seen this girl in the college. My son had to go for a funeral yesterday. Her boyfriend was chopped and put into small pieces and burnt in somewhere in Templars Park. It came out of the prison, it seems. The girlfriend, what happened was that she, after the funeral, she went up to the ninth floor of the apartment and she fell down and suicided herself. Why? Depression. Depression. Two lives was gone because of depression. Right? So can you just imagine, today's world is not easy to live. Right? You meddle with something, somebody burns you and cuts you off and puts you like, it's really like a massive animal world. Then after that, the other side, the person who once has got a life or hope, somebody did not speak to her after that, didn't counsel this girl. So this girl has now, one is wasted, one life is wasted. It was a suicidal life. So why do people have this kind of grief? Because of grief, they can go on to suicide too. Suicidal, right? Disappointments and anger. You can be also depressed because of anger and disappointments. You can be disappointed with something and you're depressed. You promised a promised a promotion. You don't get it. You're depressed. How come? The other person. I was promised. I know I'm in line. How come the other person went up? Disappointment can also bring depression. Anger, especially with men, depression. Right? I can show you in the Bible how where they are. And negative guilt and fear also causes depression. Negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative things, and also guilt also causes depression. Why guilt? Oh, I'm a sinful man. How can I be like this? No, pastors call me to come and do this, you know, in the church. Oh, you know, he doesn't know my life. You're depressed. You're feeling guilty. And you're feeling depressed. You can't meet up to the mark. Sometimes people are depressed because of rejection. Or most of the time, people are rejected. When they're rejected, they feel depressed. Out to all this, the only answer is Jesus Christ. Because in his word he says, I've come to liberate people from everything, from every form of prison they are in. Sometimes when you have depression, people have got a stigma on our lives. That itself can depress, further depress you. Have you seen people who've gone to Tanjung Rambutan come back? Oh, this man has gone to Tanjung Rambutan. I know job for him. I can't give him. They're feeling depressed. And that guy comes out, he's well already. He goes into further depression because, you know why? He says, I'm rejected. I came out from this place and now I'm not wanted in the society and they feel rejected. Prisoners who go into reformation, into prison and they come out and the society reject them, they go into depression. They see the person as they went in, but they don't see the person as they come out. Do you follow what I'm saying? Many of us do that. We have judgment. We have a judgmental mind. And we are so fearful that we don't want to give them a job. We don't want to give them any kind of a support in their life so that they can have a life of their own. So they are rejected too. So people who come out of rejection, the society puts them back into rejection. Amen? And God has got to do something with this. God has got a way. If I look at the people in the Bible, there are many people were rejected. And people went through depression. They are great men and women of God. You'll be surprised. They went through depression. And some of the depression are spiritual attacks. I must tell you, there are spiritual attacks. Spiritual attacks is easy to handle. Because you pray against it and the spirit of depression will go away, you'll feel alive. Right? I said, it'll go away. Unless you want it back again. Right? It will go away immediately. 100% or rather 101% the Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit of depression cannot stand before Lord Jesus Christ. Because he never had a spirit of depression. He never had. He never had. At one time he had a war within his spirit and his man and his flesh. But there was no depression. Right? There was no depression. God, if you see in the Bible, God does what he does. Whatever he does in the Bible, you'll find whatever he says in the Bible is true. We should be thankful because the Bible is their guideline. We not only see perfect people, we see people who are imperfect. God molded them out from whatever they were in. One of the persons I would like to talk about is the person of Job. How much was Job depressed during the time in the Bible of book of Job? Excuse me. He was so depressed. Can you just imagine he was rejected by his own wife? He might as well die. She comes out and tells him, you might as well die. You old man there with all the sores and scratching like a monkey. Right? Can you just imagine this man sitting beside the dustbin and collecting all the things and scraping his body like a monkey probably at a time? She would have called him names. I'm just adding, okay? It's not in the Bible. I'm just adding. So people, the way people talk, you know, people, they talk with so many things. If you come from a Western culture, it's different. From a Eastern culture, they'll call you all different kind of names. Monkey, donkey, and every others. So I believe that time the wife spoke out something, and I believe he was rejected and depressed. Furthermore, his friends came around. He was really rejected and depressed. So much so, he has to answer his friends. Go back and read Job, and you'll find the entire Bible. He has got to reply to his friends. The friends tell something and he's telling you are because you're not a righteous man. You must be something you have done. And you know, he's so rejected. You know, I've been righteous all the time. Not only I prayed for myself, I prayed for my children too. I've lost all my children. I also prayed for my servants too in my household. He prays for his animals too. How many of you pray like that in your house? I pray today, fathers will take heed of what Job did last time. As the head of the family, we have the right to pray for your wife, your children, and your anything that you have. You're going to have a pet in the house, you can still pray for the pet. You can pray for anything in the house because the household belongs to you. And I chose Abraham today to bless you with a word from Abraham, how Abraham was blessed. Abraham's household was blessed. Even his servant was blessed. They were rich. The servant were rich too. So today, as we see as a man, as Job was praying, can you just imagine how much of depression he's going through? He says, I'd rather die, but let the spirit get out of my body. You're in a situation so much. He's one man that you can see was depressed. And some of the words he said were so hurting to him. And he still doesn't want to curse God. The wife said, curse God and die. And he didn't want to do that. Because he was righteous before God. Even in depression, he knows there is a hope in his life. Amen? Let's look at another man. Moses. Moses was depressed many times, you know. One of the times that he was really depressed, when you can see in Midian, that, you know, he came and the people, you know, are pushing him for water. Water, you brought me out here. No water. Might as well die in that area in Egypt. I would have rather died in Egypt. Can you just imagine, you are now gathering a group of people. Say, even you have about 20, 30 people with you. You're going out somewhere and suddenly you take them out. Say, I think we should not stay here. Let's go out from this place and go to another place. Another place, so unfortunate, that place doesn't have water, doesn't have food. Can you just imagine how much they'll curse you? They'll curse you from whatever they can find in vocabulary. Right? They can't find from vocabulary. They'll think about something to curse you. Because that's how man reacts. When their needs are not given. So what happens is that this man had to receive the brunt of it. And Moses was able to receive it. When he received it, he was depressed. God, why did you call me like this? In the beginning, I told you I cannot go for this. He was arguing with, you know, you see in Exodus chapter 1, he was arguing with God. He gave God 10 reasons why he don't want to go. And God replied 10 reasons why he should go. And now after that, coming out, and he's doing all those perfect things, where God did a lot of miracles there, 10 miracles he did. He came out here, and now he's in the wilderness. He's depressed. The people are after him. He's so depressed that he has to go to sit down the whole day to listen to 2 million old people's problems. Household, you know, 2 million household problems. He has got to come to him. Until his father-in-law gave him, Jethro gave him a vision, an idea. Say, don't do this. Get man of 1,000, leader of 1,000, leader of 100, leader of 50. Let them lead. Let them hear first. Those cannot be solved, then come to you. You're the high court, supreme court. They all are low courts, you know, whatever court, majestic court, or whatever court you call it. It was all established by Moses at that time. So can you just imagine how much of depression he would have gone through? And they curse him every time? What more would have Moses had when he took an Ethiopian woman as a wife? Go back and see Exodus. Right? When his wife died, he took a woman from Ethiopia and she became his wife. And his own brother, Miriam and Aaron, were against it. Do you think that only God can speak through you? Can you just imagine your own flesh now judge you, comment on you, and condemn you? How many times we go through that? And he would have gone through depression. Lord, I just took a wife with me so that I don't have to look around for any. I don't look at any other woman. Is there anything wrong, God? My wife is no longer here. You've taken away. I believe he was arguing with God. God really heard him, and probably God says, come out from the place and go to the tabernacle at a tent. And God met all of them. And you know what happened after that. Miriam had a white kind of sore in her whole body. Right? She was put out of the camp for 21 days. Can you just imagine? All this happened, and because of his depression. Even this depression of his was so great. To handle people. I pray your pastor will not have that kind of pressure. Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. God is with us. I would like to talk about another man, David. You know, David, if you go back and see in Samuel, 1 Samuel, he was even in Kings, 1 Kings, you'll find he went out, you know, to war in so many places, and his own place where he was staying in Ziklag Right? He was staying in Ziklag, a whole group of them, because this Amalekites king said, okay, never mind, you can stay here. I can give you this place to stay there, you know, so that you can stay here. And he brought his families, he brought his children, his wives. At the time he had wives, and all his man's wife, children were there, families were there. As like a village they were staying in a city. But what happened? When the army came and hit them, and they were conquered, they took everything else. And he had to run into a cave for a while. He was depressed. Can you just imagine? He has already lost his family. He has lost his entire, as a leader, he's lost his entire whole group of people. The village is gone, is burnt. And now, they've taken away his children, his wife too, just like any other man. But every man wanted to stone him. How depressed would you be? The man who walked with you, fought with you, know exactly what happened. They are the one stoning him. They are the one wanting to stone him. He'll be so depressed. He was depressed. And so many times, David has gone through depression. He ran away from Saul so many times. He went through depression. Why has he got to leave his own wife, Michal, and run? That's depression. I don't know how many of us can do that. You can't even be with your wife and your family, and you have to run away from a man who's after you. That's true depression. Not only fear, depression. Great man, David, was depressed too. Let's talk about another man, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was so depressed. He wrote the book of Jeremiah. So much of prophecies, what's happening and what's going to happen. He wrote everything, he saw everything. And yet he was depressed. He wrote Lamentation. From the beginning to the end, he was still crying in a depressed mood. Oh, why is this? From the beginning of the chapter, the first chapter 1, until the end, he's still crying. Lamentations. In between, he said one or two good words. Your mercies are like glories in the morning, the dews like in the morning, afresh forever. Chapter 3, verse 23. Once in a while, he inserts some good words. While he's crying, can you just imagine? Can you just imagine some of them mourning, you know, the ladies who cry for dead bodies? And suddenly they are crying and they say the good things about the man or a woman. So this, probably they've learned from, I think they must have learned from Jeremiah. Jeremiah in between, he was lamenting. He was depressed, so depressed about what was happening. And he's in a prison sometimes. He was put in a prison for saying the good things. Can you just imagine what will happen to him? Talk about Daniel. Daniel was put in a prison too. Talk about Joseph. For doing the right thing, he was put in the prison. Right? He didn't want to have any affair with his boss's wife. And the boss's wife insisted. Because of that, he went to prison. How depressed can you be? God, I'm trying to be good, and yet I'm put into a prison. How many times you all have felt that way? And I pray today that we can relate somewhere to some of the leaders. Why I'm relating to leaders? Because you're not alone. You're not alone. The other person who was really depressed was Jonah. Jonah was so depressed that he has to take a U-turn from what God's plan is. God said, go to Nineveh, but he take the other way around. He's so depressed. Even after going and prophesying, and he says, this whole entire city will be, all will be killed and vanished. And 3 days later, nothing happened. He sits under a tree, which God planted, and he's still lamenting there. If given a chance, I think he would have written a lamentation song also there for the next 2-3 days he was sitting there. Right? He was so depressed. So depressed. Right? Depression leads to the bitterness. Amen? Ouch. And I want to read about one more man, and we'll see how God dealt with this man. We can take so many people, God dealt with them in every way. But I want to like this man very much. Maybe because he's a prophet. Elijah. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 4. He went through depression. He was so depressed. His depression became so much that he had to sleep and sleep and sleep. Angel of God come and feed him, and yet he can't recognize the angel of God. He must be so depressed and tired. When you're depressed, you're tired. No? When you're depressed, you really, really are tired. You want to sleep. You don't want to get out of the place. You want to be in dark places. Sit down and sit down. You want to watch the movie, you'll be watching the movie 10 times a day, but you will not realize that you have watched it 10 times. That's what depression is all about. This man was depressed, so depressed. He ran. And after that, he went up to the mountain and he hid himself in the mountain. And when he hid himself in the mountain, he was so depressed that he was the only one who was living in the whole world. A righteous man. A servant of God. But God called him at a time. How to get off the antidote for depression? Number one. God works in our way. First of all, antidote for depression is number one, take care of your body. Take care of your body. Your body is a temple of God. See, God knows that his body has to be nourished. So God sent an angel to nourish his body. Cooked a meal for him. Number one, take care of your body. If you don't take care of your body, you will be actually in problem, deeper problems. Because depression, your spirit, your emotion, which is encapsulated and consoled into this body of yours, the frame of yours, if you don't take care of this physical body, your emotional body and the spiritual body will also hunger. Right? If you have this body, the frame, well, then God can do the rest. First thing is to take care of body. Nourishing your body is important in depression time. Sometimes depression time, many of them don't eat much. Depression time, don't eat much. In this chapter, you'll find, chapter 19, God gave, 1 Kings 19, God brought forth an angel to deal with him, to cook for him. Because he was so tired, he can't even take care of himself. He was so tired. He was running away from this woman called Jezebel. Amen. As he was running away, he was so tired. God has got to deal with him. God has got to give him food first. Amen. Then you'll see number one, number two. The second thing, you'll find that in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 5 to 9, that God's angel came and served him with food. And sleep. Allowed him to sleep. He needed rest for the body. When you have nourished the body, you have to also need the rest for the body. So don't oversleep, but you have enough sleep. So he was able to sleep, enough sleep. Then after that, he has to get up and run. Right? Enough sleep is important. Eating is important. For healthy food is also important. When you are depressed, number one, not only come and be prayed for, have good food. It's important. Regular physical exercise is important. His exercise was to run for 40 days. Elijah, if you look at the book, then Gospel, if you look at 1 Kings 19 after that, after being fed, he ran for 40 days. He walked for 40 days up to the mountain without food. There was enough strength in the body. Second thing he did was to exercise his body. He needed enough exercise in his body. So you need exercise in the body. Because if you are sluggish, it's going to be difficult in our body. Man and woman who are depressed must have enough exercise. Don't sit like a potato right in front of the TV and sulk and say, this is what happened to me. I'm so depressed. Let's get out of it. You must have a feeling in your heart. Churn your emotions. Second thing God did for this man was, after being feeding him with the food, second thing he did was to change his thinking thoughts. See, God did something else. He did change his thinking thoughts. God asked him one question when he was in the cave. What did he ask? Elijah, why are you here? Sometimes we do not know why we are depressed. Sometimes people do not know why they are depressed. They are depressed for one reason and they accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. Everything else becomes a depression in their life. And they will sit down. And the question God asked him was one question only. Why are you here? And the answer he gave was two or three answers. Number one, can somebody read that out, the answer he gave? Are you all there with me in the Bible? Chapter 19. Verse 9 to 14. What did answer he gave to him? It'd be very interesting. He's been very zealous for the Lord. Okay, let me read it. 19. And there he went to a cave, into a cave, and spent the night in this place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." The reason why he ran was only because of Jezebel, nothing else. He had fear came over him that he had to run. He is depressed. His man has brought down fire from heaven, and there was burning of fire, and the whole place in Mount Carmel, everybody talks, everybody rocks because of him. Fear. And the same man who said, "There is no water, there is no more rain." But the same man said, "There shall be rain today." There was rain. And the same man ran away because he was fearful of one woman called Jezebel. We'll speak about Jezebel's spirit after this series. I hope you'll come back and listen. It'll be very interesting. And also I'll cover Absalom's spirit. You know what's Absalom's spirit? I'll cover that Absalom spirit too. Okay? You will find this man was running away. Now he gave excuses. "Lord, you know, I'm so jealous." He's talking about himself. He's carrying himself up. You know, in Malay they call it masuk bakul, angkat bakul, or something like they call it. No, put the basket inside, take out the basket. He's praising himself up. Say, "I'm the only one who's here, you know. I'm the only one." He's looking at himself. He's a disappointed man. He's disappointed. "I've got so much zeal for you, and yet, no, why did this woman threaten me?" She has got a mouth to threaten. She has got a mouth to threaten. She'll threaten. Is that right? Anybody can speak what they want. But this man should have stood his ground. But he ran. He talks about himself. And he says, second thing, all the prophets have been dead. Killed by the sword. I'm the only one. You see, again, only one is himself. So he's now depressed about what? He's depressed because God did not burn that woman up. Amen? As God came and burned the offering he did, he should have burned that woman up or brought something rough unto the woman. It didn't happen. But instead, she challenged him. Fear of that woman is not about what he did. He knew where he was. That's why he brought the power of God. And the power of God came down from heavens and started burning off everything. Fire came down. The rain came down. And he was able to run faster than the chariots because he was able to be in the spirit of God. Right? And this same man ran away. It was not about anything else. About number one, pride. "I've done all this. How come this woman dare come and say after me?" He's depressed. So when you are in depression, God asks you, you start thinking, why are you here? Why did I come to this place of depression? Why did I come to this place of, you know, depression? Why did I come to this stage? What am I actually running away from? Am I running away? I'm depressed because of not one person? Is it one person that hurt you and everybody else seems to be hurting you? Or is it because you are proud that God, somebody must do something for you because you've already done something for God? Depression. God made him think. God asked a question to think. Why are you here? You're a powerful man. You're my child. You're my fantastic man. You know, you're my warrior. You killed 400 Baal priests by sword. You killed them. Why are you here? Can you see? He starts thinking now. He finds excuses. So during depression, don't find excuse. Ask why. Why am I here? Why did I come to this stage? It's important. The moment you start thinking, your start, first of all, your body is now exercised. He ran for 40 days, exercised very well already. And then after that, he's got food earlier than that, nourished his body. Now start thinking. Third thing is to think. He starts thinking. Why? And he gave the answer. But God gave a different answer. Right? God gave a different answer. It's important that we must guard our heart. He was not able to guard his heart when he started asking the question. He was able to talk so many things, but he could not guard his heart. No wonder God is, no, in Proverbs chapter 4, 23, he didn't guard his heart. He says, guarding our heart is important. And renewing our mind is important. He did not guard his heart, that he's probably, he didn't have a wife, you know. He didn't have a woman in his life. He's scared of a woman, probably. I'm just putting in, no. He's probably scared or fearful of a woman. He runs away. Number two, he didn't guard his heart. Number two, he didn't renew his mind with the things God has done for him. He didn't renew his mind. No wonder it's in Romans, you'll find that God says, you must renew your mind daily of what God is doing in our life. Unless and until we renew our mind, what's God's grace and the things that he's doing in our life, we cannot be strong. Depression will take control. Renewing our heart must be guarded. Number two, our mind must be renewed every day so that depression doesn't take place. As I told you just now, I went and I saw my son. He was in the emergency ward. He's bleeding there. And I have to preach somewhere else. And the time people are waiting, he's already calling me, are you on the way, Pastor? And I have to go. There was a kind of small depression in me. Lord, I leave my son to you and you take control now. I will go. There must be something happening. Search your heart. Because the renewing of mind, I know, if God has done miracles through my hands, God will surely do miracles for my son. And today, praise God, he's healing faster. He's healed very fast. He can now walk. Yesterday, the other day, the doctor said 7 months at least minimum, he cannot walk, cannot carry his hands, carrying his legs. Now he can put a walker and he walks like this. At least he can walk. He drags his leg, never mind, who walks? That's important. Amen? But God can do the miracle. I know a few days' time, he'll be walking. Next week, I pray that he'll be here in this church. Amen. Praise God. Renewing your mind is important. See, there are many successes God has given in our life, but we don't renew our mind. You can find that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. You'll say, renewing our mind. And taking captive of our thoughts. Our thoughts are important. Our thoughts at the time is important. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Our thoughts are very, very important at the time. Our thoughts, where we drive our thoughts is important. Where we direct our thoughts is important. If you're going to direct on a failure and depressive things, then it'll be depressive. You must direct your thoughts towards the things that have been successful in life, where you were able to overcome everything. Then you will be able to overcome the situation you are in now. Amen? So, thinking is important. Our mind, when you are really in depression mood, you tend to go into a different gear. You go into a reverse gear. And the reverse gear will be so powerful. You know, nowadays, automatic cars, you don't have to press the fuel anymore longer. You just put a reverse gear, let go, the fellow will still start reversing also. It continuously reverses. Because I don't know what's the mechanism, but that's what it does. And the other day, one guy knocked reverse and knocked in Sramban in my car. Asked him, why did you reverse? You know, my car is behind. I don't know, sir. I know I reversed, but I didn't press anything. Because when you're in reverse gear, things work out differently for you. You must go forward by thinking of the things. God has made so many things for Elijah, but he did not renew his mind. Take captive of the thing that is mine. The fear that came upon his mind, he did not take captive of it. But he ran because of the woman. But he gave excuses of other things. Amen? So important. You must start thinking when you are in depressive mood. Don't allow yourself to idle. Idle your mind. You idle your whole life. Never let the mind to be idle. Never let the mind to control you. Let the spirit control the mind. Amen? By renewing our mind, taking captive our thoughts, so that we can feel better and daily we can produce the things that we need. Sometimes we don't have enough adrenaline in our body. When you're lethargic, nothing running up. You need to get that by thinking, by exercising, by eating the right food. Number four, God did provoke Elijah for an action. We must have action. A plan of action is important. Prison break, I said, you must have a plan of action. You must have action. Depressive mood actually goes into a sluggish mode and takes away our energy easily. Zaps our energy. Depression zaps our energy. So you must be action mode. And then you don't want to be moving. He says, why? I feel very tired. I sit down here. You must be in action mode. God gave one process, gave him. God gave him a work for him. He re-engaged him into activities. He re-engaged him into things that he can do. He re-engaged him into the things that he should be doing. God gave him a purpose where there was no purpose now in Elijah's life. There was a purpose now God created. If you read on further, you'll find. God says now, can we read that one? It's good. Then he says, he told her, and then God told him that, I have already got so many. You're not only one, you know. I've got 7,000 other men here who did not bow down to him. An earthquake came and wind came, you know. After that, you'll sign. Verse 15. Let's start from verse 14. Now God recognizes him, okay? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, and because the children of Israel had forsaken the covenant of the Lord. And now God says, verse 15, he says, then the Lord said to him, go return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. And you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint him as prophet in your place. God gave him three work to do. So when he become an action-oriented man, there must be work to be done. So you cannot be sitting down in a place, re-energized back. When I was in the time when I didn't want to work, I felt lethargic. I felt things were not right. And I felt only praying was the best thing. Go and sit down in one church and sit down and pray. And don't do any action. Don't even go and do my business. Don't even attend to my office. Don't even go to my office. I only go and check my bank account end of the month if the money is there or not. That's my only job. I know the date. On the 10th of every month, I will go and check. So that I can take it to use it for myself. And go this repetition for a few months. He re-engaged him to the work. He was now without work. He abandoned his work and came, ran all the way to a cave and sit down in a cave where you can be very happy doing whatever you want to do. But now God re-engaged him to work. Gave him three jobs to do. Number one, he says, go and appoint two kings. One in Syria, one in Israel. The third one, he says, you will appoint Elisha as a prophet. As an assistant to him. Man. So unless and until we re-engage in work, depression mode will not go away from you. Spirit of God is upon you. God says, now I've already delivered you. Now go back and do the things that you have to do. Now he has got to re-engage. Many of us don't want to do it. Oh, that when I go back to the office, I have a problem. I have a depressive mood again. It's okay. You know, Joseph was put in the prison in the house, same house. When he came out, in the same kingdom, the palace, he was the number two man. When this man was there, his the main servant was there, sitting down there, and yet still had to serve him. Joseph was a servant for this man, the master of the house. Now, this master of the house becomes a servant of Joseph. Can you see the change of position? So unless you allow to work in that place, unless you go and re-engage yourself in the place. And Joseph did re-engage himself. He was waiting for the moment he could get out. And the moment came, he got out. He didn't say, no, I don't want to go. He didn't say, now, you know, I think tomorrow after, when I think about it, I'll send you. Now, I'm lethargic today. I'm still in the prison. There was an opportunity for him to come out of the prison. God gave him an opportunity. And he came out from the prison. And he went out, shaved himself nicely, went up, stood in front of the king, and he interpreted the dream. Amen. Today, he is now in control of the place. Many of us don't want to go back to engage our work because we have got fear. Depression mode. If you've got fear of depression, you've got a problem already. There should be no fear of depression. So re-engaging into the work is what God did for him. So God is the best doctor. You'll find how did he deal with Elijah, he can also deal with us. The last thing about coming out of depression is establishing supportive relationship. I want you to go back to chapter 19, verse 3 onwards. chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. Are you all with me now so far? Are you learning something? How God did a repressive operation in Elijah? Verse 13 says what? 3 says what? And when he saw that he arose and ran for his life and went to Bathsheba and belongs to Judah, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. All the while, Elijah had a servant with him. He had a person who walked with him all the time. Now suddenly, because of his depression, he was running away. He left his servant in Bathsheba, and he's now alone. When you're depressed, do not stay alone. What did God do to him now? God says, now I want you to go and appoint Elisha as your assistant now. Never walk alone when you are depressed. You must get some support around you. Do you follow what I'm saying? See how God did this work on this man, Elijah. And now Elijah after that became so great after that. Even greater than that. You'll go back and read Kings. You'll understand what I'm saying. You know, he was able to re-engage. Now no longer was Elijah. The first thing he did was that he did not appoint the Syrian first. First thing he came down, he saw Elisha. He threw his mantle. Mantle is the cloth or piece which you have. He threw that onto the man who was plowing in his field. He had his buffaloes probably or his cows there and plowing. Suddenly this man comes and throws the mantle on this man. And that man suddenly cuts up and says, my Lord, I have got so many things to do. I've got to actually, he's so happy that he's assistant for Elijah. This man Elisha must have known Elijah of the works of Elijah. Otherwise, he will not call him. You go back and see, I like the way he calls him, you know. When he starts calling him and when he starts calling him father, the first thing he did was, so he departed, verse 19, chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother and then I will follow you. Why would this man, Elisha, when the mantle was thrown, he didn't say, come follow me. Jesus said, come follow me. But this man did not even utter a word. He just threw his mantle upon him and he followed him. That was a sign to call him to be part of his co-worker. And he knew what to do. He says, let me go and sign. I will follow you. So Elijah is a well-known man at the time. He will follow him. But let him go and kiss his father and mother goodbye and come back. He did that after that. So Elijah, God says, when you're depressed, don't walk. When you're coming out, don't walk alone. Walk with somebody. Get a companionship. Get somebody in the church. Get somebody in a cell group. Or get somebody in somewhere who can walk with you. So that a depressive mode, you can come out of it. Amen? Amen? Are you all with me? Amen? See, God did something in the work of Elijah. And Elijah became famous after that. Even then, much more famous after that. Because Elijah was walking rightly after that. You will never find depression after that. Elijah, in fact, killed more people after that. You'll find in the Bible. You go back and check and see. He even called down fire, and he even called down on. He prophesied upon Jezebel down. He prophesied upon Ahab. He prophesied upon everybody else. Everything that he prophesied has come to pass after that. He was able to stand in front of Jezebel and tell her, "You will die like this, and the dogs will lick your blood. Your carcass." And it came to pass. Nothing which Elijah prophesied did not come to pass. And I pray today, depressive mode is just when you turn around and God, the way He dealt with Elijah, He can also deal with us. God who dealt with Joseph was depressed for doing good. He was sent to the same prison. But in the same prison, Potiphar's house, he came up to the best man. And he became the number two man in the whole country. Everyone under him has to serve him. Because he had the signet of the king, of Pharaoh. Amen? Praise God. So today, I would like to ask of you today. I don't have time to finish the other one. I want to do today too, but I can't do that. Unless you're willing to stay back until 1:30 or 2. I want to talk about failure, but I can't talk about failure today. I will talk about failure next week, the next time. Is that okay? We'll try to get failure and another one together and fear together. Amen? Praise God. So, Father, we pray that today, Father God, the depressive mood, Father, is not from you. Depressive desire, depressive thoughts, depressive way of life is not from you, Father God. For you are a Father of abundance. We pray, Father God, today, Father, that joy comes from you. There will be abundance of joy, Lord. Depressive people do not have joy. I pray, Father, that the joy of yourself shall be upon every heart that is depressed, Father. Whenever we are depressed, even for a short moment, your joy will come. And we will be able to refresh our mind. We will be able to captivate our mind. We will be able to, Lord, hold our minds to with you, not with the things of depression. We pray, Father, we will renew our mind with the things that you have spoken, you have done to us, and you have already been successful in our life. We pray, Father, that, Lord, today, every spirit of depression, those who are seated here and those who are at home, or our relatives whom you know, we command in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, spirit of depression, flee from them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For he came to liberate, give liberty to all those who are captive. We are no longer captive of spirit of depression. We are no longer captive of the actions of the antidotes of all the actions of depression in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise God.